America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
Hey, Chicago, it's Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Stick around for a breakdown of the latest local news in and around Chicago. But first, anyone remember this?
You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, you can move a mountain, you can break rocks.
That is the sound of local students from Leo Catholic High School, who were recently on America's Got Talent. They went all the way to the finals and made Chicago proud.
Every time you've gotten up on that stage, you've delivered time and time again.
I watch people when you perform, and you just have this ability to make people feel great.
You're the coolest choir that has ever been here on ADT.
You guys are a vibe.
Now that they're back in Chicago and have gotten a chance to catch their breath from all the singing, we're checking in with them today. Of course, we couldn't have the entire choir on the show. There's about 20 of them, and it is a school day. But a few of the young men are here in studio. At the table, 18-year-old senior Bernard Freeman, Derek Davis, a 17-year-old senior, Kevin Wilson, a 16-year-old junior, and Tyshawn Brown, who's 17 and a senior. How are we feeling about being back in Chicago? You first, Bernard.
I'm feeling really great. It was a great experience to come in Cali and just do a great show like that.
Yeah. Kevin, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling amazing. It feels good to know that I've inspired people my age and people who have the same dreams and aspires that I have.
Yeah, Derek, what's on your mind?
I'm feeling great knowing that I put a great impact on Chicago and how people look at us now.
Yeah, Tyshawn, are you well rested now?
Yes, I'm feeling amazing. I'm still missing Cali every day.
Yeah, that weather in California was nice, wasn't it?
Yes, amazing.
And then when you came back here, we still had a little bit of heat going on here.
Yes. Yeah. But now it's getting cold.
The temperatures have dipped. Yep, definitely. Chicago is becoming Chicago once again. But let's learn a little bit more about you guys before we get back into your experience at America's Got Talent. So I'll start with you, Bernard. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Bernard Freeman. I'm 18 years old. I'm a senior in high school. I play football and I'm in choir. I've been in choir since I'm a sophomore.
Since you've been a sophomore. So 2 years?
Yes.
Wow, awesome. And what about you, Derek?
My name is Derek Davis. I'm a senior, obviously. I play football, baseball. I run track. I've been in choir since my freshman year.
So you've been doing it this whole time?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Okay, we'll get back to that. Kevin, how about you? So you're the junior in the group.
Yes.
What else should we know?
I'm a junior. I've been in the choir since my sophomore year. And one thing the choir have done for me is brought back my my dreams of music. I lost my my urge of music and my motivation of music during COVID. And listening to the choir every day kind of brought it back for me.
Oh, interesting. And Tyshawn, what about you?
My name is Tyshawn Brown. I'm 17. I am a 4-year baseball player. I also bowl, and I recently just joined choir my junior year.
Amazing. You know, I'm hearing sort of a running theme through all of this. You're very active young men, right?
Yes, yes.
Football, track, baseball. But you make time for singing. Derek, I'm looking at you first because you're the one who's been doing this for 4 years now. Why? Why is singing so important to you?
Well, at first I didn't have no desire to sing. My mom, it was really forced onto me. But over the years, I've got into it. You know, Miss Hill, I love her. She's like my choir mom. I didn't have no singing desire. She helped me learn how to sing, all that.
Yeah. When you say it was forced onto you, was it because you had a really good voice and your mom recognized it and maybe wanted to push you to do something with that?
Nah, she just had, she went to a performance the year before I went into high school, and she was like, yeah, you're going to Leo, you're going to be in the choir.
Ah, so it was the reputation of the choir.
Yes.
Got you. What about you, Tyshawn?
Me.
Your singing background.
Me, I don't really have a singing background.
Okay.
What led for me to join choir was the choir teacher, Ms. Hill. She recognized my potential in my voice. She was hearing my voice, and she came to me personally and told me, like, yeah, I have a great voice, and I have singing potential. And so I just said, you know what, why not go out there and join choir?
Yeah.
I wasn't doing nothing else. So I just went out there, tried out, and I'm actually better than I thought. I'm actually a good singer.
Yes. I think America thinks you're a good singer. And I want to make sure she gets her proper flowers. You're all talking about Miss Hill. That's LaDonna Hill, who
yes.
is your choir director,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yeah, so shout out to Miss Hill for sure. Kevin, you talked about losing your spirit for music during COVID. Tell us
yes.
more about that.
So I think the year before we went into quarantine, I was taking music class, and it transitioned into it being online. And we were taking music class and things like that, and all of our gigs that we had to perform in elementary school got canceled because of COVID. And from the location that I was in and us being in quarantine, I had to move, which like made me have to transfer. And the new school I went to didn't have a music program. And when I got to Leo, I seen that they had a choir. And my freshman year, I would always stand at the door, and I realized that there wasn't no audition process. So when Miss Hill would walk past, I would sing because I know I can sing. And one day she called me singing, and she came up to me and was like, hey, you can sing. I want you to come in the classroom and sing and do things like this. And I went in there, showed out, and it just brought back my, like, the dream that I've always had to be a singer.
Yeah, how did that feel in that moment?
It felt amazing. Like it was something that I realized that I would have never thought would come back to me, because I was like, everything is gone. This COVID's happening. I had no other music program, and it's like God just brought it back to me.
Yeah.
It's like once I sat down and realized like everything's happened for a reason, it's like he brought it back to a thing that's a part of my life now.
And Bernard, I got to hear how you went from football to choir.
So when I've been in Catholic school my whole life, so I've been playing football and I've been singing. So I tried to join my freshman year when I got into Leo, but I couldn't because it was too late.
Mm.
So I waited till my sophomore year. I got the opportunity to pick my classes, and I chose choir.
Yeah. So was it what you expected it to be?
Yes.
When you joined?
Yes.
Yeah. Was everybody welcoming? Like, what was it like? I'm curious if you were intimidated or if it was like, yeah, come on in.
It was like a safe space.
Mm.
So yeah, everybody was just welcoming. Everybody was just singing. It was just fun.
Yeah, I mean, and you were. I look at you, Derek, as part of the welcome crew, just because you've been doing it for so long. Is that sort of the mission here? Is to make new members of the choir feel welcome?
Yes, it is. You know, we treat each other like we brothers, family. You know, we always gonna take care of one another and all that.
When you joined, Tyshawn, was it what you expected it to be?
Yes, it was more than that, actually. It was very welcoming. I wasn't very nervous at all. It's just, man, I felt like I belonged in there.
Yeah. So, Kevin, why don't you tell me what that road to the America's Got Talent stage looked like? What was that journey and the preparation like for you?
It was more of like, the feeling was amazing. It was good. And it kind of brought me back to the things that I did in elementary school. From fourth to fifth grade, I was in a dancing class and I performed on stage. And then from fifth to sixth grade during COVID, I was in a music class.
Mm.
So that whole process is kind of emotional for me because it's like, it was set up for this to happen. Like,
no wonder, because when we watch you perform, I mean, you are getting down. Like, I mean, the yeah. swaying from side to side. I mean, your bop is a little extra boppity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's your dance background coming through.
Yes, I have a good dancing background, and I performed on stage. So it was like growing up, the performances I had and did for some people in crowds, it got rid of my stage frightenedness. So when AGT came around, it didn't hit me till we got there. And then it was like, this is something I've always dreamed of doing. And I always realized
questioned,
how can I put me dancing and singing together? And it's like, it all came together.
Derek, I mean, was this the goal? I mean, you started this as a freshman. Now in your senior year, you get to be on television. You get to go to California. You get to perform on a national stage. I bet you didn't expect that.
No, it was unexpected.
Yeah. What was it like for you, the journey?
The journey, it was an amazing journey. You know, I got to meet new people, make new connections, you know, go out of town with my brothers, Ms. Hill, it was just a great journey.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, welcome. This is In the Loop. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and we are catching up with the Leo Catholic High School Boys Choir. The school's in Auburn, Gresham, and these young men are fresh off of a journey in California where they made it to the finals in America's Got Talent. So I want to go back to that moment when you first hit the stage to audition.
Is there anything that we should know about you before you start?
We're great.
Okay. Good luck. The stage is yours.
And then you're told, Bernard, that you made it to the live shows. Tell me about that.
First auditions, I was really scared to go on stage because it was a big stage, it was a big crowd, big television show.
Mm-hmm.
When we made it to the live shows, I was happy. Just gonna do it again. I was just excited to go back to Cali and do it with my brothers again.
How confident were you, Tyshawn, that you would make it this far?
To be honest, I was very confident. I always, like, I seen the potential that all of us had.
Mm.
I knew, like, we could do it. I always had 100% faith in us at all times.
Yeah. What went through your mind, Derek, when you were told you're going to get to perform in the live shows? Were you maybe worried about Simon and how he would be? Simon Cowell?
I was a little worried, but I knew that all the work and the hard work and dedication we put in, that we had the potential to make it to the live show. It was like we always was working, you know. And I believe in my brothers and Miss Hill, that she got the work ethic put out for us that we're going to succeed.
What was the practice schedule like, Bernard? I mean, you're making a face that people cannot see. I'm guessing it was grueling. It was a lot?
Yes.
Yeah. So what, every day?
Yes, every day from the morning to the evening to the night.
Listen, practice makes perfect, yes, gentlemen. Yes, yes. Right? How do we make the national stage if we don't practice?
Yes.
Right? So how was that for you, Tyshawn, all
schedule,
that practice time?
I can tell you how the schedule was. The schedule, every day we had to get up between like 4 through 6 because certain people had like interviews, early interviews in the morning.
4 to 6 a.m.?
Yes, like, yes.
That was on West Coast time.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. And then right after, for the minors, for the people that still in high school, we go to breakfast. And then right after, we go to school for 3 hours. Right after school for 3 hours, we go right to practice. That's either singing or being in a studio, either or.
Yeah.
That was an everyday occurrence. We had dress rehearsals. We had, I'm talking about just everything.
Wow.
And we had to wake up and do it all over the same, the next day.
Yeah.
Everything over the same next day.
But it was, it felt, I would assume, rewarding, right? Because each time you were doing all of that, you were getting a payoff in real time.
We knew we were doing it. Like, we knew all our work was going to pay off.
Yeah.
So that's why we always tried to stay positive about the whole thing, no matter what. We pushed through the whole time.
You know what's nice to hear you gentlemen talk and refer to each other as your brothers?
Yes.
Tell me more about the relationship, Kevin, between you and your choir mates and what seems like a family.
The relationship is actually good. It's something that I didn't really expect. The main, like the core parts, what makes it feel like a family is those hard times where we're learning choreography or we're learning music and somebody's off or somebody is down or somebody's doing the wrong part. What makes it feel like a family is we don't downplay each other. We don't talk about each other. We hold hands. We pray. We come together and talk about how to fix it. We help people get the choreography down. And it feels like we're comfortable for making mistakes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of messages that's getting done. There's a lot of seances that's getting done. And one thing that I've told the choir in this process is you have to be uncomfortable to get comfortable.
Mm.
And to me, that's big, because when you realize that, it puts people in a mindset that you can be uncomfortable and have the choreography wrong, but your brothers is here to get you comfortable, and there's no reason to be embarrassed. So you always have somebody in your corner, no matter what section you were in, helping you get better, because we all wanted it.
Sounds like those might have also been some of the conversations that you were having amongst yourselves in the quiet times that we didn't see, right? When the cameras were off, you're back at the hotel, and it's just you guys, right? Just you and your choir director. Is that sort of the momentum there?
Those are the times. Like when we get back, just say we'll get done at 8 o'clock with America's Got Talent and their team. We'll schedule 11 o'clock rehearsal at night, and we'll go in and talk. And some people's energy might be low and things like that. And we just always come together. And two biggest words was believing and having faith.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. What were your families saying, Bernard? Like, I mean, were they trying to give you tips and feedback, or were they just super supportive?
They were super supportive, basically.
Yeah.
They just kept telling me, do your thing, you got this, have fun with everything.
I bet that was super exciting for your parents, Tyshawn.
Yes, my mom was always in the crowd recording me at all times. Every time I would look up, she was very easy to spot. I always knew she was there. She was very encouraging through the whole process, always pushing me, always texting me in the morning, making sure I was woke. She never missed a beat.
I love that. I love that so much. I love that you could see her in what looks like a massive audience.
Yeah.
Imagine locking eyes with somebody you know, let alone it being your mom.
Because it was always me and Derek's mom actually standing right next to each other. just always bright lights, phones recording, very easy.
Oh, I can just imagine. Yeah. As a mom of two teenagers, I would have been right there next to them like, yes, that's my baby.
Yes.
how was that for you, Derek, having mom right there?
Having my mom right there, you know, knowing that she supported me through everything I do, it was amazing. You know, that she loves me. She always recording. Like, anything I do, she always going to support me and tell me that you can do it. Do your best. Believe in yourself.
Yeah. So we're back now. The competition's over. You did amazingly well. Tell me, Bernard, the biggest lesson you think from this entire experience, something that you think will stick with you.
Biggest lesson I learned was how to take accountability with doing the stuff that we did. It was a lot of responsibility, on big a national television show.
Yes.
So I just learned how to do that.
What about the fact that Chicago, not just you gentlemen, but Chicago was on this national stage? Did any of that weigh on you at any point while you were there? Just knowing the way the country thinks of Chicago, and now seeing this positive beam of light coming from our city.
We were proud, very proud that we were able to show a different side of Chicago, because the narrative that's going around Chicago was starting to become bad. And we were able to spread positive, show the world that there's more to Chicago than just what they're seeing. We've shown that we could do anything that you could put your mind to.
Yeah. Well, what is next for the choir? Kevin?
We have a lot of performances coming up. One of the main things is keeping that high level of, like, the standard, and, like, we're just going to get even better and better every day.
Riding that high, right?
Yeah, and we have a couple of new students in the choir, and one of the main things is helping them have the mentality we have to realize that it's okay to mess up, it's okay to, you know, and we have them the same way that we were all welcomed into the choir. The biggest goal is to let them understand and help them feel what we felt when we came, and that it's okay to mess up and do certain things.
Love that. We've been speaking with Bernard Freeman, Derek Davis, Kevin Wilson, and Tyshawn Brown, members of the Leo Catholic High School Choir. Thank you so much, and congratulations again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just a cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
Okay, now it's time to catch you up on the big stories of the day. We checked in with WBEZ Morning Edition anchor, Claire Lane. And we started with how Illinois state lawmakers and Governor Pritzker are addressing the heavy presence of federal agents in Chicago, especially ICE and Border Patrol. According to the Department of Homeland Security, the feds have made more than 1,500 arrests in and around the city since the start of Operation Midway Blitz last month. I asked Claire what the governor and House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch are doing about ICE as lawmakers meet in Springfield for the fall veto session.
So Illinois lawmakers, they've got 4 days left in their fall veto session, and they've got a pretty big agenda to get through, including some federal funding cuts, figuring out how to fund Chicagoland Transit. Remember that, right? Because that's facing a $200 million deficit.
Yep.
But on the topic of immigration, you know, House Speaker Chris Welch is vowing to protect democracy, he says, during this session. He says he's going to continue to condemn political violence in all forms, right? This includes, and he named ICE agents. He also says he will recognize that due process really is the only thing that is separating sort of a lawful detention from what he called a kidnapper, because this is kind of what people have been saying that ICE is doing, snatching people up on the streets. He's also saying that he's going to support the First Amendment rights that make all of these things possible. So we should also note that Cook County's top judge, this was yesterday, signed an order barring ICE from arresting people at federal courts. This is in response to the federal immigration enforcement incidents we've been seeing a lot at courts, outside and parking lots, what have you. And Welch is saying that he's hoping to pass a bill that would bar federal agents from making warrantless arrests in courthouses. So essentially just making that temporary restraining order, passing it into law.
Be interesting to see how far that goes. Meanwhile, the president is painting Chicago, including downtown, as a war zone. But it turns out more people are visiting the Loop, right? Chicagoans, tourists alike, we're all coming in record numbers.
Apparently so. This is new data from the Chicago Loop Alliance. They track these numbers quarterly. And the most recent data is saying that the record numbers of folks, tourists and residents, are coming for arts, culture, and to grub.
Take
right?
that, get Donald that,
get those, Trump. Those restaurant reservations in. Especially on weekends now, the numbers are saying that we have exceeded some of these pre-pandemic foot traffic levels from 2019.
Nice.
So Broadway shows, art exhibitions, people are feeling safe. People are wanting to go downtown.
Speaking of the weekend, Open House Chicago is coming up. Are you checking it out?
I might be.
Yeah, there's more than 200 sites open to the public, as usual. Our colleague Lee Bay from the Sun-Times had 5 suggestions for folks. The Hilliard Towers apartments on the near south side, the auditorium building downtown, the Japanese American Service Committee in West Ridge, the National Public Housing Museum on the near west side. Super excited about that one. An Aspire Center for Workhouse Innovation. That's in Austin. I want to check out some of those. But new this year, the Chicago Magic Lounge in Andersonville. Have you been before?
I have been.
It's so cool. And I want this chance to like walk in again
for free this time.
And
I was just going to say, and you don't have to pay.
There's no
2-drink minimum.
Yeah. Get more recommendations at suntimes.com from Lee Bay. He's got a full write up there. Any other stories you're watching real quick, Claire?
Yeah, so people paid their respects, we should say, to Sister Jean during a wake yesterday. The Loyola chaplain, you know, she gained so much attention rooting for the men's Ramblers basketball team. She passed away last week at 106, and her funeral mass is going to be held today at 10 a.m. at Loyola Madonna della Strada Chapel. So people still paying their respects to a great one.
Of course.
This episode of the In the Loop podcast was produced by me, Maha Ahmed, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/intheloop. Thanks for listening.
What happens when you say yes for an entire year? Join WBEZ on October 26th for an evening with Titan of Television, Shonda Rhimes, as she recounts lessons from her best-selling memoir, Year of Yes. Tickets at wbez.org/events.